the Apostle Paul is on death row for preaching the gospel. On death row in Rome's infamous Mamertine prison. And he knows his days are numbered. He knows he's not long for this world. And he sends out or shoots out a letter to his much-loved spiritual son, Timothy. So what we have here is we have this spiritually mature, older minister writing a letter of encouragement and instruction to a younger minister. Now, Paul, I say younger minister, and Timothy is younger. Timothy has taken over the church in Ephesus, the church that the Apostle Paul started himself. But Timothy's not a baby Christian. He's the pastor of this church, but he also was Paul's traveling companion for like 15 years. So these guys are very, very close to one another. Paul sees him as his much-loved spiritual protege, his son in the faith. And so Paul wants to send out this last letter. And what we're going to touch on today is the topic that we've been on for the last 4 or 5 weeks, somewhere around there. And that's what Paul's addressing in our paragraph today. He's talking about the sufferings that he has went through. He's not very specific or detailed about these sufferings, but he's talking about the trials, tribulations, and storms that he has been through as a Bible-believing Christian, as a minister of the gospel. And he's refreshing Timothy on some of these struggles, but he's also informing Timothy that, yes, the road that I have been on has been full of trials and storms, but God has been very faithful. God has been faithful. God has gotten me through all of that. So that's just a little background of what we're going to be chewing on today. So 2 Timothy 3, and we're going to read 11 through 17. I'm not exactly sure how far we're going to get, but we're going to get there. What I mean by that is we're going to do what the Lord wants us to do. My persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let's pray. Dear Lord, oh, we love you. Do you love him this morning?
Yes.
Lord, we love you. And we just want to give you glory, Lord. Thank you for your anointing in this house, Lord. It's your anointing that sets the captives free. It's your anointing that breaks the yoke.
Yes.
We need your anointing, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place.
Yes.
Father God, we know you want to do something great in this service today. And we just receive what you have for us, Lord. Let our ears and our hearts be opened up and ready to receive the message. Let the message be conveyed in a way you want it to be conveyed. And we just love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious, mighty name we pray. Everybody in church said,
amen.
Give Lord some praise. God is good. 2 Timothy 3:11. Paul's got this letter going to Tim. We got a monologue going on here. Not a conversation, but the Apostle Paul's reaching out to this young minister. My persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. I like that part right there, man. Tim, I've been through it. I've been through it. He's refreshing Timothy's memory on a lot of the stuff that he's been through. And he names these cities, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. Now, Timothy, fun fact, Timothy was actually from Lystra. So Timothy was not around for these sufferings that the Apostle Paul's talking about. This would be in his earlier missionary trip before Timothy became part of his entourage. But he's refreshing his memory, saying, Tim, you've heard the stories many times. We've talked about them over the campfire and I've showed you some of the scars. Saying, Tim, this road has not been an easy road, brother. Lystra, one of the towns that's mentioned, Timothy's hometown, this is the town where the Apostle Paul was stoned and left for dead. So he's talking about some real deal stuff that has happened to him. And let's keep in mind, the Apostle Paul's not bragging about how awesome he has been for serving the Lord through these hard, difficult times. He is bragging on God's provision and faithfulness. But he's making this point, he's driving this point home to his young protege, saying, you know what, man? My Christian journey, my journey as a minister of the gospel, a big part of that has been trials and tribulations. Yes. He's saying, I don't want you to miss that fact, Tim, that this ain't the easy road. Look at your neighbor and say, this ain't the easy road. And just like that is a fact, that is a fact that Paul went through so much. It is also a fact, and I'm so glad that Paul puts this in here. It is also a fact, yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. He says, this is also a fact that every single time I have been in a situation where I was in the fire, in the furnace of affliction, where that water was getting awful high, where those flames were getting awful close, God was there every single time. I was not alone. Even when I was before Caesar and there was no human being that had my back, God was there with me. And God got me through it. He's saying, many trials, many storms, through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom. But I've never been alone. God got me through each and every one of them. And so, we, my brothers and sisters, we got to keep putting our trust in the good Lord. You know what I'm saying? The Apostle Paul, when he was before Caesar, man, if ever he wanted a brother there with him, that would have been it. Amen? Just someone to have his back, just someone there for moral support. Everybody got out of there, man. But he said, you know what? God was there with me. And I don't want anybody in here to ever go through a situation where they don't have somebody flesh and bone that they can talk to. Amen. I want us to always have somebody there. But there will be times, man, there'll be times where you can't reach somebody, or man, just for whatever reason, you might feel like, man, they're not going to get it. No one's going to get it. Well, I still encourage you to reach out to one of your brothers and sisters. But there are those times, man, where for whatever reason, you feel like physically, I ain't got nobody right now. Am I telling the truth?
Yeah.
Right? The Most High God is there. The creator of the universe. So, I mean, that's a lofty thing to say. The creator of the universe. And sometimes, you know, we had a weird relationship with our parents. We had a weird relationship with our father. Whatever it might be, we have this strange picture of our Heavenly Father. And God tries to make that perfectly clear to us through Scripture. How, you know, like, hey, the Apostle Paul said, your old man tried, he did the best that he could, but he wasn't perfect. But you have this Heavenly Father who is the perfect Father. Okay? So we have that Heavenly Father, the creator of the universe, the sovereign God, But he says, I also want to go by this title as far as it is concerning you. I want you to call me Abba. I want you to call me Daddy, Father. I want you to understand how much I love you and how much I care for you. Even though, yes, you will go through the furnace of affliction. Yes, you will run into opposition. Yes, you will be persecuted. But you will never, ever, ever have to face it alone. And the Apostle Paul, this isn't something new for him. He's learned this years and years ago on the ministry trail, that minister the gospel, walk into a town. There's a preacher joke that every town Paul went to, the first thing he did is went and found out where the local jail was, so he knew where he was going to be staying the night. Yeah. Maybe, maybe not. Probably not. But one thing for sure, when he would go into town, he would preach the gospel. He would do his job. He was very thankful for what God had did for him. He knew that he was a wicked man and that God saved his soul. That God sought him out. God didn't have to do that. But God sought him out on the road to Damascus and said, Paul, what are you doing, man? You're going the wrong way. You're batting for the wrong team, chief. But I can sure use a man like you with that zeal and that tenacity. So the Apostle Paul was so thankful for what God had did for him. And so he lived his life walking into these towns as a missionary, and he proclaimed the gospel fearlessly. But opposition would always arise. Be thrown in the slammer, flogged, beaten, left for dead. All kinds of stuff. There's a list in Scripture of some of the highlights of what this man has went through for the good Lord. So a lesson learned long ago that he's relaying or refreshing to Timothy. I've been through a lot, Tim, but oh, God has been there with me every single time. Amen. I want to share a verse with you, 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Don't bother turning there. You can jot yourself a little note. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. This is actually a fresh verse from our study, I believe, last week, where we were talking about some of the trials that the Apostle Paul had went through. And specifically in 2 Corinthians 1, he was talking about such a severe trial, such a severe affliction. They said that he was scared of life itself. He had fought. He said it felt like he had got a death sentence. He felt like he was in a situation that in the natural there was no way out. In the natural way of looking at things, using my senses, there's no way out of this. But this is what the Apostle Paul said about this situation. He delivered us. He delivered us. Who delivered us? The Lord delivered us. Remember the creator of the universe who says, I am your father. I am your loving father. You are my much loved daughter. You are my much loved son. He says, I'm also your deliverer. He delivered us from such a deadly peril. And he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. That's the Apostle Paul, man. He's like, yeah, it's been a rough road, but I went through it alone. Well, what about you just said you were alone when you had that preliminary hearing with Caesar? Yeah, man, there was no flesh and blood cats around me that had my back, but the Most High God had my back. And he delivered me. He delivered me out of that. And he says right here, he will deliver me again. Like, I don't know, Nita, I don't know what's waiting around the corner for me. You don't know what's waiting around the corner for you. We don't have that privilege, if you call it privilege. I don't know if that is a privilege. Maybe I don't want to know what's waiting around the corner for me, right? But I don't know, and I don't have that luxury of knowing that, but the Lord knows what's waiting around the corner. And so the Apostle Paul said, yeah, he got me out of that one, and whatever's waiting for me down the road, he's going to get me out of that one. And whatever's down the road in the next village, he's going to get me out of that one too. Because I'm not going to quit my day job. I'm not going to stop proclaiming the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul had this, and I respect this so much. He had this fearless this fearless way of life. And this is something that us as Christians, we need to adopt this. You know, he had that saying, to live is Christ, to die is gain. To live is Christ, to die is gain. What a powerful motto. And that's the way, that is what we need to adopt. Amen. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Amen. He says, I'm alive, and I'm alive by the grace of Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I have eternal life waiting for me. And he says, to live is Christ. As long as I got blood in my veins and air in my lungs, I'm going to serve Jesus Christ. I'm going to be bold in the proclamation of the gospel. I'm going to say, what's wrong is wrong, and what's right is right. He says, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to be serving the Lord. But he says, if one of these guys finally take me out, to die is gain. Yeah. To die is gain. To be absent from this body, this aching, frail, fragile jar of clay. When I leave this body, I'm going to be with the Lord, man. So as he looked at it, he's like, you know what, man? I really cannot lose. There's not a losing position for me. As long as I'm alive, I'm going to do what I've been called to do. And God will give me the strength. And when opposition arises, God will give me the strength to get through that. He'll get me through the better days. And what God has done with me here, when it's time for me to advance, when it's time for me to get promoted, God will do that when he sees best. But until then, man, I'm keeping the mission. That's how this guy lived. And he's just trying to pass this on to Timothy. Regrettably, he can't do it face to face. But he wants to let him know. It's like, man, this is so very, very important. I would tell you to go to the next slide, but we ain't got slides today. But let me just enjoy some of this delicious purified water. Is that Clover Valley? Yeah. Don't that sound like a nice place? Yeah. Clover Valley. You, honey, you want to take the kids to Clover Valley this weekend? Yeah. Load up. Okay, so anyways, 2 Timothy 3, I'm going to read 11 and then we'll go on to 12. My persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I love the Lord. I love him so much. And I've been going through it, man. I got my own thing going on, man, but God has been so faithful. And, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I would not have, my current situation that I've been dealing with, I would never volunteer for it. I mean, that goes without saying, but God has showed himself so powerful and so strong and so comforting that it's just his ways are so far above our ways. And sometimes he will push you right up to the Red Sea. And you're like, man, I didn't see this coming, man. Why am I in front of the... This is a death sentence, man. And God says, no, it's not a death sentence. This is an opportunity for you to really begin to understand how amazing and loving I am. Hallelujah. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Okay, Tim, so here's the deal. Yeah, I've been through it, and God has been faithful to me. And I know this goes without saying, Tim, but you have the privilege of looking back over this over and over again because I'm not always going to be there for you. And I want you to be reminded of this, that this sufferings, these afflictions, these persecutions, these trials are not just unique to the Apostle Paul and a couple super saints. He says it right here. Indeed, all, that's you, that's us. Indeed, all. No, that's just the preachers. No, it's not, man. No, it's not. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Jesus said it like this. John 15 and verse 20, if you want to drop that down, John 15 and verse 20. This is right before his, very close to his crucifixion. John 15 and verse 20. Remember the word that I said to you? We can preach a sermon on that right there. Don't forget what Jesus said. I'm talking about red letter stuff. Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. He's talking to the disciples. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. Jesus wants these guys to know, man, that because you represent me, you're going to have persecution. You're going to have suffering because you are called by my name. And the Apostle Paul just told Timothy, if you are called by the name of Jesus Christ, you will have persecutions. You will have sufferings. Well, newsflash, Paul, my life is pretty peachy and I ain't got no problem. Well, see, that's an issue right there. Man, I hate to say it because the good Lord says all his kids are getting it. All his children will go through these trials, these storms. He corrects all his babies. Why? Because he's a perfect father. And he knows what we need. So, indeed, everybody, every single person on the planet, saint or sinner, Christian or non, has hard times and has difficulties. We know this. Satan hates everybody. But then, what the Apostle Paul's talking about here, and what the Apostle Paul has experienced in his own life, he said, if you're trying to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, if you belong to Jesus Christ, you don't just fall into the Satan hates you category. That's across the board. That's everybody. Because we're all made in the image of God. And we're given that chance of a redemption and salvation and forgiveness of sins. But see, when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you really, really, really become an enemy of Satan. What do I mean by that? I mean, you have just gotten to the position where you can take back what Satan has stolen out of your life and other people's lives. Let me say it like this. Satan doesn't just hate you anymore. He is furious and he is fearful of you. He is fearful of you because for one thing he cannot have is Scott's soul. One thing he cannot have is my soul because it ain't his, it ain't mine. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? I belong to the Most High God. And ain't no demon, no angel, no one can pry me away from his grip. Oh, and he's furious about that. But then, to add insult to injury, not only am I saved, but guess what? I got a burden for my family now. I got a burden for a lost and dying world. I'm going to follow the Great Commission, and I'm going to step out of my comfort zone and tell other people about Jesus Christ. So, Satan, whose power is extremely limited, okay? We can talk about that sometime, but he can't do anything. He can't do everything he wants to do. All right? God says that's enough. That's enough. We're going to use this for something amazing, but you need to stop. You see what I'm saying? But see, Satan's going to throw everything but the kitchen sink at you. He's going to try and get people to lie to you, and try and get people to lie about you. He's going to try and get you to mess up and do something stupid, right? He's going to do anything and everything he can to discourage you or to sideline you, okay? So the Apostle Paul says, Timothy, it's not just about me. And it's really not just about you, Tim. God's people will go through that furnace of affliction, but that's where God makes his man. And we see what's going on here. The Apostle Paul, this seasoned minister of the gospel, talking to Timothy, you know, who he's not a pup. He's been a minister for quite a while now. But we see him sowing into his life and saying, look, God was so faithful to me in Iconium, in Lystra, and all these other places. And God is going to be just as faithful to you, Timothy. Psalm 100 verse 5. Praise the Lord. Cliff note, Psalm 100 verse 5. God is faithful. God is faithful to all generations. Faithful to all generations. So this isn't something he stopped doing in the early days of the church. This isn't something that's just Old Testament stuff. He's faithful to all generations. So like the Apostle Paul said, God's been faithful to me. He's going to be just as faithful to you, Tim. And he says, the good Lord says, I'm going to be just as faithful to Sister Claudia. And I'm going to be just as faithful to Sister Rachel. And I'm going to be just as faithful to Brother Paul. And on and on and on. He is faithful to all generations. So this is a truth that we can grab a hold of. This is a truth that we need to grab a hold of. So the truth stand the devil, right? God is good. That's really what I'm trying to say, is God is good. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He says, in Christ Jesus. So, I mean, think about this for a second, guys. Every false religion on the face of the earth, every alternative lifestyle on the face of the earth is accepted, promoted, celebrated, except for Christianity. What's wrong with that picture? Well, I think we already addressed that a minute ago. We serve the Most High God. We serve the creator of the universe that gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish. So we're on the winning ticket. We're on the only way for eternal life. We belong to the only plan for redemption and salvation. Amen? So yeah, Satan and his minions, knowingly or unknowingly, at some level, will come against the Christian. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? True that? True that while you do that? 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. It's Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. This helps me understand how the world views Christianity. And you know what, man? Let's just be honest right now. Sometimes Christians, man, we give a lot of ammunition to the enemy. I mean, let's just be brutally honest, man. You know, Christians can be extremely weird. I mean, we can't even get along with each other. You know what I mean? You know how tiny little regimented Japan was almost able to conquer Asia?
Yeah.
Certainly China. It's because what was going on in this province in China, the other people in the other provinces could care less. It's like, I don't care for those cats. I don't care what's going on with those dudes. And so Japan was able to take a lot of ground because they were devoted to a unified mission. Free Asia. That's what they're preaching. They were going to enslave Asia, kick out. Well, anyways, never mind. Anywho, Satan's done a really, really good job of getting us to fight amongst each other. This denomination versus this denomination. You got to sprinkle to baptize. You got to submerge to baptize them. My kids get homeschooled. My kids take better. You know, all this crazy stuff, man, that are not salvation issues. You know what I mean? So Satan has been really good at driving wedges between the other denominations. But also in the church, in this church, all churches, all people, all God's people said, all churches, all churches. My voice is kind of messed up, but whatever. You know? So we got to see it for what it is, man. It's like, okay, this is a lie from Satan. You know what I mean? Yeah, maybe brother so-and-so is a little different than me. But what makes you so perfect? Cat daddy? You know what I mean? You know, our sister so-and-so, I can't believe she would dress. Man, look, dude. Look, let's start at the foundation. We love Jesus. We love Jesus. And this is the part of the body we are connected to. And I hope forever and ever and ever. You know? But man, Satan wants to drive wedges between us, and he wants us to get so furious with one another. And you know it's a lie from the devil. So here's the deal, Lexi. There is no, this is true. Man, this is true. Learn this now, young ones. There is no lasting relationships without learning forgiveness. There is no lasting relationships without applying forgiveness. We got to learn to do that. Moving forward, what's going on? What are we doing? 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 16. To one, a fragrance from death to death. To the other, a fragrance from life to life. So the Apostle Paul's breaking it down. He's like, you know, sometimes you can be in the line at Taco Bell and you can just tell that that person, two people ahead of you, is a Christian. Well, also, at a deep spiritual level, because that's what that is, deep calls to deep. The world, the unsaved, to you, the Christian, on a deep spiritual level, the Christian to the world is the aroma of death. It's like walking through the woods and coming up on a dead animal. And you think that smell can't get any worse, and it just gets worse and worse and worse. Like, my goodness gracious, that don't smell so good. God says through the Apostle Paul to the unsaved, you want to know why they hate you so much? You want to know why in their little secret meetings they think it would be just better if we could just get rid of all of them? Because to them, we are the deep spiritual level. We are the aroma of death to them. We are a reminder to them that there is a God. There is a God, meaning there will be a time of judgment. And they don't like to think about that. So they got to push away the truth, do whatever they can. Amen, y'all with me? So here we are. Yeah, I mean, the Apostle Paul is certainly qualified to give this instruction to Timothy, because the Apostle Paul's life breaks up into, like all of ours, breaks up into two pretty distinct separate categories. This dude at one time was not Paul the Apostle, but Saul of Tarsus. And he was extremely devout follower of Judaism. This dude was severely devoted. He was a rising star. He was a Pharisee. He was going around killing Christians, arresting Christians. That's what he did. But then, as he became a Christian, he really learned what opposition and suffering was once he became a Christian. How many times... Or can anybody relate to this? I know at least one person can, because I've talked to him about it. How many times have you decided that I'm going deeper in my relationship with the Lord? I'm tired of straddling the fence. I'm selling out. Yet again, I'm selling out to the Lord. I'm going as deep as I can in my relationship with the Lord. And what almost instantly happens? Opposition. Something will always arise. I've seen people give testimony after testimony, right? Stinking there, man. And I pray, God, prepare him. Because I know with that proclamation, Satan's going to start throwing whatever he can to tell the truth, shame, the devil, right? Yeah. But remember what the Apostle Paul said. Put your trust in God, because God will give you the provision to get through this mess. Yeah. And he will get you through to the other side. Yeah. So the Apostle Paul, you know, the Apostle Paul, starting to sound like Mickey Mouse. The Apostle Paul, you know, lived this life, and now he's in the final days of his earthly journey as a Christian. And he says, you know what, man, I didn't know what persecution was, man. I didn't know until I started going against the grain, until I started following Jesus Christ. You know, Galatians 1 and verse 10, it's a good verse. This is Paul, by the way. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Man, I think that's something we should all ask ourselves. You know, in our day to day, what's motivating me to do this right here, whatever it might be? For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? Listen to what Paul says. If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. That's what he's telling Timothy. He's like, brother, this is the right road for you. You've been called by the name of Jesus Christ. You are his servant. You are his much loved son. But it ain't no easy road, man. If you wanted the easy road, you can just go back to the old way. But since you've already tasted and seen that the Lord is good, that old way will never satisfy you. And you're going to be one mixed up, miserable Christian. Hear the Lord some praise. Tell the truth. Shame the devil. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. While evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. So Timothy, if you look around and it looks like things are just getting worse, things are getting worse and worse. Well, Tim, that's because they are. Timothy, when it looks like Satan's winning, well, that's because he's a liar and he's not going to win. He's saying, Timothy, everybody's going to go through trials and storms and tribulations. That's how this thing works. God's going to bring something beautiful out of that, so endure the suffering. Let God teach you what he wants you to learn. Amen. But as you look around, and it just looks like the world is getting more and more debaucherous and evil. It's like, well, it is. But don't let that discourage you. Don't let that discourage you. Don't let that take the wind out of yourselves. Because you have a job to do, Timothy. And I'm going to do, God says, I will do my part. You do your part, I will do my part. But don't be discouraged when you see the wind and the waves. And let's be honest, sometimes it can take the air out of our, it can take the breath out of ourselves a little bit, air out of ourselves, whatever that is. When we see the craziness that's going on in our world today. But just like this, the Apostle Paul says, don't let that bring you down. Don't let that discourage you. Because for one thing, Timothy, nobody is getting away scot-free. So when we as Christians get frustrated at what we see going on around us and the things that are coming to light about the people in power, the people that have been in power, how these guys in their little clubs and their demented, evil, wicked behaviors and all these things that are going on, and it just seems so impossible for you to do anything about it. Paul and Timothy, don't let that discourage you, man. You do your job. You keep doing your job. Because God will settle the score, Timothy, so you don't have to lose any sleep over any of this. And you don't have to pull your hair out over any of this. Psalm 1, let's see what the psalmist says. Psalm 1, verses 5 and 6. Lest we be frustrated with the condition of the world that we live in, just remember that we're just pilgrims passing through, for one thing. And this is not our home. But God will one day wipe away every tear. God will one day settle the score. He says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It does not say vengeance is Paul's. Let me step back and let him make a big mess. Psalm 1, verses 5 and 6. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment. Okay. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. So the wicked will have no defense in that time of judgment. And maybe you've heard some of your unreligious friends or atheist friends say, oh, Paul, if your God is a God and I stand before you, I'm like, oh, you're not going to be standing, brother. you're going to be as low to the ground as you possibly can get. You're going to be hugging that ground, brother. Oh, I'm going to give him a piece of mind. No, you're not.
No,
there is no defense. That's why we should be elated at the fact that God saved our souls.
Amen.
As wicked as I have been, as selfish as I have been, He saved my soul. He doesn't see me as a wicked, selfish knucklehead. He sees me as somebody washed by the blood of the Lamb. You know what I mean? Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Who's the righteous? We are. I don't feel so righteous sometimes. It's not about you or about how you feel. It's about that gift that you've accepted. His righteousness was given to you. What a wonderful, beautiful truth. Amen. But God protects His folks. God knows where His folks are at. I can look at 100 folks in a room, man. The first thing I'm doing is I'm trying to find where my people are. You know what I mean? Where's my people? Why? Because those are my people. Those are my people. God knows exactly where you are and what you're going through. He says, I got you. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Now listen to this. But the way of the wicked will perish. Man, that is so harsh, isn't it? Now what's harsh, what is harsh is having a free gift of salvation offered to you that you could not earn, never could get to it on your own. And it's a free gift of salvation, but it was not free for God. It cost Him everything. And He says, this is what's harsh, is I offer salvation and forgiveness of sins to everybody. Everybody. It's a free gift. All you got to do is accept it. Well, I ain't got my ducks in a row. That's why you accept it. Yes. Then He'll start working on the duckies, man.
Yes.
Right? Tell the truth, shame the devil. All right. Okay. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed. Okay, Timothy, you see all this craziness going on around you? Don't let that discourage you. Don't let that distract you. God's going to take care of that. God will take care of that. Don't feel like you're not putting a dent in the problem, okay? Your job is to plant the seed. Your job is to be obedient to the message I've given you to deliver. God will do the part that you can't do. God will, the Holy Spirit will do the convicting. Don't be discouraged. Just continue to serve. Same thing for me and you. Don't be discouraged. Well, I'm in the middle of this mess right now. Keep trusting in God. Keep serving God. Keep doing it, man. Keep doing it. Don't be distracted. Don't be discouraged. Continue to be that servant that God can use right in the middle of your messy situation. But as for you, Timothy, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it. Because that's what he says right here. Tim, continue in what you have learned. Continue doing what you've been instructed to do, what you've learned from me. Continue to serve the Lord. Timothy is the pastor of the church in Ephesus. And he's saying, Tim, when it gets hot, when it gets crazy, when you are just feel like you're in a messed up situation, man, continue to do what you know to do. Continue to serve the Lord. Continue to do it. Remember, defeat evil by doing good. Just keep serving God, man. That's his marching orders for Tim. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned. Continue preaching that gospel. And have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. Look at Galatians. Well, I'm just going to read it. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Some really good advice for Timothy. Some really good advice to the Galatian church. Some exceptionally good advice for me and you. Because I'm talking about when you're in the furnace of affliction. And specifically what we're talking about is being persecuted for being a Christian. Because I'm pulling the text from the Apostle Paul and some of the stuff that he's went through. But also, I want to address the fact that sometimes we kind of make our own messes ourselves. Sometimes we make our own messes ourselves. Sometimes we're just dealing with the effects of somebody else's mess. Sometimes the world's just coming against you. Sometimes the rain falls on this guy and not on this guy. But whatever you're going through, God says we're going to use this to make something beautiful out of this mess. We're going to bring something beautiful out of this. I didn't want you to be in this situation, but you had to go down this road. You refused to listen to me, but here you are. But guess what? I'm just as faithful. I'm just as faithful, and we're going to get through this mess, and you're going to learn some valuable lessons, and you're going to be twice the amazing weapon demon slayer man I called you to be.
Amen.
Demon slayer man I called you. Your Lord's the praise. Demon slayer man, that's the next Victory Life Church shirt. You watching that new anime, kids? Demon slayer man? Okay. That actually is, I think, something like that. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Listen up, church people. And let us not grow weary of doing good.
Amen.
Timothy, when you see all this mess going on around you, world just getting wickeder and wickeder, just keep serving. Just keep serving the Lord. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap. That's how the old farming thing works, actually. You got to plant the seed. And overnight, you don't reap a harvest. And I think that's kind of like what Paul's telling Timothy. You know, and it looks like you're not making a difference, Timothy. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't look at the wind and the waves. You just keep serving God. You keep spreading that gospel. I've never led a single person to Jesus Christ. You do your job. You do your job. You proclaim the gospel. You tell people about Jesus. You let people see Jesus in your life, and the Holy Spirit will do the rest. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. If we do not give up, because sometimes we give up. Like, man, I'm not making a difference. Oh, that's a lie from the devil, man. That's a lie from the devil. All right, God is good. But as for you, continue in what you have learned. Keep doing what you do and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you've learned it. The Apostle Paul says, I've been a template for you to follow. I'm not going to be around anymore. We're not going to be, there is going to be no more missionary trips with me and you. But remember what you learned. Remember where you learned it. He said, I've been not a perfect model for you, Timothy, but I've been a model for you because my desire is Christ, moving forward in Christ. I leave the past behind, and I'm following Jesus Christ. I'm straining to finish my race, just being everything God wants me to be, Timothy. He says, remember where you learned these things from. When people come in with some sort of flowery message. Remember the truth. Do not be deceived just because it feels good. If you ever hear something from some so-called minister or preacher or Christian, and they're giving you advice that is contrary to what the Bible says, do not take that advice. Do not do it. That's a lie. God will never contradict his word. He will never, ever, ever, ever do that, okay? Just saying, Timothy, remember who you learned this stuff from. Same goes for us. You know, I think that as we go through afflictions, trials, tribulations, or whatever, there's a part of us that wants to reach out to people, and I do think that we never need to go through things alone if we have a Christian and brother. You know, Christian brother or Christian sister, that's going to keep your business and not go screaming from the rooftops. We need to have people in our life that are trustworthy, that we can talk to about our problems. You know what I mean? But be wise in who you take counsel from. Be wise in who you share things with. Amen, right? Am I making sense or not? You know what I mean? I'll tell you. We're Christian folk, and we have real life problems, man. And we got to take these problems to godly folks. I mean that, man. If you go out there mean, just calling up all your old buddies in high school, man, just to let them know some juicy business that's going on in your world or whatever. You're going to get worldly counsel. And if you follow that worldly advice, that worldly counsel, you're going to get a worldly result. Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, remember who you learned this stuff from. This is trustworthy. 1 Corinthians 11:1. This is what the Apostle Paul said. Be imitators of me. The Apostle Paul felt confident about this. It's like, no, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect, but one thing I do is I be imitators of me because I am an imitator of Christ. Paul said, Timothy, Corinthian church, everybody, follow me because I'm going to be following Jesus. That is a safe bet. When you're taking counsel, when you're taking advice, is this person following Jesus? Think about it. Tell the truth, right? Give the Lord some praise. So he says, Timothy, man, don't be discouraged. Keep serving God. This is the truth. This is the truth. It doesn't matter if it's popular or not popular. It doesn't change your job. We're going to close with this. And how, this is 2 Timothy 3:15, so we're just going to stop with this one. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. You see what kind of reverence and respect Paul has for Scripture. And we need to have that. But some really neat thing about Timothy is he wasn't just a traveling partner, understudy of Paul the Apostle for 15 years, but he actually had a really godly grandma. He had a really godly grandma and a really godly mother who sowed into his life, who taught him Scripture. And the Apostle Paul is telling him right here, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Oh, because Timothy, man, sometimes, man, it's going to get real messy out there. Sometimes, man, in the natural, it will look hopeless. But don't give up. Keep doing what God's called you to do, which is all of us. Keep serving Jesus. Keep spreading that gospel. I'm not a preacher. We've all been called to spread the gospel. Every single one of us. You know what I mean? Keep doing what you're doing. Keep spreading that gospel. Keep serving God. And he says this right here. You got the Scriptures in you, Tim. You know the Word of God better than the average Joe. You just couldn't walk around with a King James Bible back then or an NLT. That didn't exist, man. You had to have scrolls on top of scrolls on top of scrolls. You'd have to have a trailer full of scrolls, man, to have all the Word. You know what I mean? So they had to, a lot of this stuff, man, had to be memorized. Yep. Memorized. Your word I have hidden my heart, yes, that I might not sin against you. Yes. We are to store up the word. Amen. You know what I mean? The Apostle Paul says, Tim, you know the Scriptures. Now don't deviate from that. Stay in the word. Stay in the word. Meditate on the word. Because just like it leads people to salvation, it'll guide you and lead you to the most treacherous, crazy parts of your life. So he says, Tim, troubles will come. That's part of being a Christian. Trials and tribulations will come. That's part of being a minister of the gospel. But God will deliver you out of every single one of those situations. So just keep working until it's time to clock out. And only God knows when it's time to clock out. So you just keep working, keep trusting, and keep yourself in the Word of God, man. Keep, because it is a light to your feet. It is a lamp for your path. Amen. Sometimes, man, you don't know. James says, if you need wisdom, ask. Sometimes we don't ask. Sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. But he says, if you need wisdom, ask. And sometimes you will need direction so bad. Well, guess what? The answer, I'm telling you, man, that book is alive. Yeah. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll expose in you what you need to work on. Now, you need to be open to that and be obedient to that. But this word will guide you and lead you and direct you. So we got to stay in Scripture. But whatever you're going through, man, God is going to get you through it. So don't give up and just keep serving Him. Father God, we love you. We praise you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the work that you're doing in this church and in our homes and in our hearts, Lord. Thank you that we are all growing in relationship with you and we want what you want. We love you and praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.